The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 49. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and bore witness that this is the Son of God." The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, Where are you staying? He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. There's a group called the Barna Study Group. This group studies and surveys churches and trends within not only churches, but within Christianity as a whole. And they found some interesting information. Did you know that 92% of all teenagers lie to their parents at least once a week? Yeah, and 90% of that same group of teenagers say there's no problem with it. They also, 75%, admit to cheating on at least one test or an assignment per month. And 86% say there's no problem at all downloading music. Now, we all had fun pointing and looking at teenagers that we have sitting here, and I'm sorry about that, guys. But now, adults, look, we need to look at ourselves. The same study group found out that 80% of all Christians have not shared the gospel with anyone within the last year. Part of that is we don't want to. We're tempted not to. James 1, verses 13 to 14 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." But here's the key part of these two verses. "But each person is tempted when he is lured, and enticed by his own desire." See, we just don't want to. We will willingly fall in the temptation of not sharing the gospel. Part of that reason, I think, that is we're beginning to lose that fear of God. You know, we all talk about the fact that someday we're going to have to stand before the Almighty on his throne. But do we really live like that's true? Sometimes we have an idea that God is just out there, but he doesn't impact the here and now. A story that I love that illustrates this point is that a captain of a very large U.S. naval ship got into a very bad storm. The ship was battered, and the captain stayed on the bridge through the entire night. Suddenly, he gets a message, "Light bearing steady on the starboard bow." For all you landlubbers, that means there's a light dead ahead, and then they're heading right at it. The captain said, "Signal that ship." He says, "We're on a collision course. Advise you change course by 20 degrees. Message came back, "I advise you change course by 20 degrees. Captain was a little incensed. He says, "I am the captain of a U.S. aircraft carrier, one of the most powerful ships in the world. I advise that you change course now." Comes back, "I am seaman second class, and I advise you to change course by 20 degrees. Captain said, signals back, and he says, "We are an aircraft carrier, and we are coming straight forward." Message came back, "Go ahead, I'm a lighthouse." I love that old story. It's familiar to probably some of you. But I love that because God is the picture of a lighthouse, and the nature of God really does fit. Unchanging, yesterday, today, forever. God's commands are always the same. What he said was good in the Old Testament is what he says is good in the New Testament. What he says was bad or evil in the Old Testament, he says the exact same thing in the New. He doesn't change. And that applies to our text today. Jesus had begun his public ministry, and he's beginning to call his disciples. And I want to talk about some principles of witnessing our faith. Now, I could go through a whole bunch of various polls and surveys, but about four of them came back with, do you know what the most neglected command of Jesus' is today? He's talking about witnessing. So what do you think the answer is? Witnessing! Yes, you got it right! You too can have the same amount of energy if you have four cups of coffee. Alright, but polls and surveys show that witnessing is the most neglected command that Christ gives us, followed shortly by reading the Bible and prayer. Which kind of struck me as odd because Jesus' last words to his disciples before he ascended into heaven was, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I command you." Jesus had a method called come and see. Now the text, our gospel lesson, begins with the words, "the next day." John the Baptist had been pointing his disciples to Jesus. Twice in that text, it says he looked at Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And John the Baptist is a man to be admired because he was a man that actually practiced what he preached. He knew that he was just the forerunner. He was the one to go ahead and announce that Jesus was coming. And he kept saying, "I'm not the Christ." But oh, the temptation John must have had. It said all of Judea came out to the Jordan to see him. Thousands and thousands of people came to hear John preach. He had name recognition. He had the crowds. He sort of was a New Testament version of a rock star. Everybody knew him. How easy it would have been for John to say, "All right, Jesus is important, but you know what? I am important as well." What does John do instead? He points his disciples to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The first principle of witnessing is, remember, it's never about us. It's always about Jesus. John the Baptist said, "I must decrease," and he, meaning Jesus, must increase. Moving the story ahead till the city of Corinth, when Paul is writing to the Corinthians in his first letter, he said, "It's not about me, it's not about Apollos, it's not about Peter, it's about Jesus Christ." And John the Baptist points two of his disciples, Andrew, and we assume the other one will become Jesus' disciple, John, the beloved one. Second principle of witnessing is seek Jesus for the right reason. Jesus asks the question, "What are you seeking? What do you want, and why are you following me?" That question is a matter of the heart. Just following Jesus for health and wealth, well, that's not what Jesus is about. This sort of this new age Jesus, the modern idea of what Jesus is he never convicts people of sin and he never calls people to repentance. He's just a godly Santa Claus. That's how society would like to view Jesus. So my question is, what do you expect from Jesus? Well, first of all, we should expect to have him every day. And it's not just when we need health, not just when there's family problems, not just when life is good or when life is bad, but every day. And he's still asking the question, what are you seeking? Do you love him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength? Or do you love him just half-heartedly? Are our minds distracted by other things? Does our time and effort and energy go towards knowing him and serving him or to other things? What are you seeking? When Jesus asked that question of Andrew and John, they wanted to know immediately where Jesus was staying. In other words, "Lord, a two-minute answer isn't going to be enough. We need to talk to you longer." So Jesus told him where he was staying. It says it was about the 10th hour. That's about 4 p.m. So then Andrew and John sat with Jesus and learned. And the third principle of witnessing is, soon as Andrew realizes who Jesus really is, he doesn't just sit there and do nothing. It says he immediately went to find Simon Peter. Andrew was compelled to tell others about Jesus. Notice there's nothing fancy about Andrew's technique. It was basically, come and see. Jesus wouldn't appear or would not preach having light shows or magic shows or all this other things to get people's attention. It was come and see. And Andrew had a real excitement about Jesus. Now, when you think of the 12 blessed apostles, Andrew doesn't generally come to mind right away. If you were to list the apostles, I'm willing to bet Andrew would be quite far down on the list or maybe forgotten. But I like Andrew. Peter's my favorite because Peter and I have foot and mouth disease. But I also like Andrew. I wish I could be more like Andrew. The book of Romans tells us, how shall they believe unless they hear? Andrew had to point people to Jesus. Excuse me. Throughout the Gospels, what do you see Andrew doing? First of all, in today's lesson, he goes and finds his brother Simon Peter. In another place, when the Greeks wanted to speak to Jesus, who goes and brings the Greeks to Jesus? Andrew. When Jesus has to feed thousands of people, who is it that brings a young boy with a small lunch to Jesus? It's Andrew. Andrew's always bringing people to Jesus. Same method that Andrew used, come and see who Jesus is. In other words, meet the Word of God. We need to get people into the Word of God. So it's not one of the top three neglected commands he has. And when people have questions about the Bible and ask you, you know what you should answer or respond with? Come to church and see. Somebody's having a hard time or struggling. Come to church and see. It doesn't hurt to ask, but it can make an eternal difference. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.